This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Umar Pagan, I'm Pagan, alongside Lee Chui Lin. This is the evening edition. Coming up, much has been said about the Sharia caning that was carried out in Terengganu last Monday. Rosanna Issa from Sisters in Islam and lawyer Latifa Koya will be weighing in on the ethics and legalities of the sentence.
And right after that, Theresa Kok has announced that the government will not allow any more expansion of oil palm plantations in the country. Datuk Daryl Weber, CEO of the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil, joins us for that story.
It is also Talk Back all day right here on the Evening Edition. 03-7733-2900 is the number to call. You can text us on 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. All of this is coming your way right here on the Evening Edition. All right, our next story of the evening is about caning, in particular two women in Terengganu for, I believe it was attempting same-sex relations. I still don't understand what that means.
Really?
It's like pre-crime.
I suppose. I could draw you
attempting
a diagram if you need it.
I know, but still. Anyway, they were caned yesterday. There was a tremendous outcry, I suppose, from certain segments of society. Meanwhile, the Menteri Besar from Terengganu doesn't necessarily agree. He says, well, all of this outrage, merely temporary. People get over it, apparently.
Well, he's saying that once they understand why it was that we did what we did and how it was conducted, everyone will be fine, basically. There's also been a Terengganu exco who said that it was done in the name of education and not punishment. And so there's been a lot of, I suppose, for people who view the punishment as inhumane and cruel, these responses are not going to do a lot to kind of alleviate that feeling. It's not going to go a long way.
Not the best communicators, I tell you, these people in government.
Well, that's not it, right? I think that the reason why the communication here is a bit disjointed, or it feels disjointed to people for whom this is just kind of unthinkable, is because it's coming from a place of deep belief, right? Because if you believe fundamentally that this punishment is correct and just, then there's really kind of no talking to you, in a sense.
Yeah, no, because nothing anyone says is going to make you change your mind, right? If you're coming from that position to begin with. I think, for me, what's particularly interesting about this situation is how divided people are. And I mean even how Muslims are divided, because there is a question of reconciling your faith and what you believe in.
And the tenets of mercy.
Exactly. And also, I guess, with, you know, just being a good human being, right? And not humiliating another person. I mean, there is punishment. And crimes often do deserve punishment. And I'm not even going to get into the debate of whether what they did was a crime or not, right?
That's
in
right.
In my opinion, it isn't. But that's a different story. Two consenting adults and all of that. But leave that aside for a moment. Punishment should not be humiliation.
I think that just, it goes without saying. But again, I come back to the fact that if you have a fallback position, and it's a fallback position that is informed by faith, and it's a faith that you have had since birth, then it kind of exempts you, I think, from having to think about individual cases. Because that's the beauty of having rules, right? Once one rule applies to everybody, and you know what? They broke the rules, and therefore this is what is quote-unquote deserved. I think that that's what makes this conversation so difficult to negotiate.
Yeah.
Because you have, on the one hand, people who think this is just absolutely unconscionable. And then on the other hand, you have people who go, well, they broke the rules. And this is what happens when you break rules.
Yeah. Klang MP Charles Santiago so far has been really the only person in government to come out and kind of speak out against this and saying, you know, we should treat, irrespective of what your beliefs are, what your sexual preferences are, leanings are, we should treat people with the most basic human dignity, right?
Exactly. I think that is the most important word here. Are you according people dignity? Just because you think they are wrongdoers, it doesn't mean that they are suddenly not deserving of just basic human respect.
And as a society, and I don't just mean Malaysian society, I just mean globally. As a society, I guess humanity has tried and strived to temper these punitive urges that we've had. So 100 years ago, we may have had a very different concept of how we punish, say, the crime of murder, for example. And even that's changing and evolving as we progress and evolve as a society. We're going to find out more, I guess, about what this means in the Sharia context. We have on the line with us Rosanna Issa, the Executive Director of Sisters in Islam. Rosanna, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Do you agree with Suhakam's accusation against the Kuala Terengganu Sharia Court that they're deliberately humiliating the women by making the caning public?
So for Sisters in Islam, definitely we agree with the position that was taken by Suhakam. It was a deliberate attempt in terms of humiliating the women by making the caning public because it was really unnecessary to do so. This was the first time and they went ahead with it. They could really have chosen not to do it.
So while this punishment is technically legal, was it just, fair and ethical?
So this is where, you know, in terms of whether it was just, fair or ethical, I mean, for us, it's far from it. The reason why I say this, because in relation to the court discretion that I talked about just now, and which Suhakam had correctly pointed out as well, because while the law provides for punishment by caning, the court ought to have exercised judicial discretion, and this is in accordance with the principles of compassion, mercy, and human dignity in Islam. And the second issue, of course, is this, which is very serious, is the lack of legal representation. The judge and the state exco, they had emphasized that the two women had pleaded guilty and that they had accepted the punishment, and they didn't file an appeal within 14 days. And this is, you know, indication of their sincerity and sense of repentance. But, you know, we really want to draw back down to the fact that the two women had no legal representation. So they didn't have a good advice, you know, that could very well have looked into, you know, the area of rights that they have, both under the federal jurisdiction as well as the Sharia jurisdiction. And therefore, this grossly impacts on the protection of their right to having a fair trial and justice. And of course, you can see the resulting long-term impact and what, you know, that meant as well. You can see the rolling out of other states coming on board to say that they want to carry it out too. And this is a big concern because if these two women didn't have legal representation, then we're also going to wonder about, you know, all the other upcoming states, you know, how are they going to address this? So this for us is actually a major issue that, you know, the punishment was not just, it wasn't fair, and it wasn't ethical.
So, Rosanna, Terengganu exco Satiful Bahari Mahmat has also said that the intent was for the caning to be educational, not serve as punishment. What would your response be to that statement?
I mean, you know, they keep saying this, you know, it's not intended to cause pain. They highlight, you know, the difference between, you know, the Sharia caning and the caning that's done under the penal code, that, you know, the difference is this is not intended to cause pain or harm the women. And really, it's in direct contradiction to the fact that, you know, there's a high degree of humiliation that they faced on Monday because it really is an orchestrated spectacle. And it could have long-lasting psychological and emotional impact. Because let's not forget, the women were hounded by the media the moment they arrived at the Terengganu Sharia High Court. Leading up to the execution, you know, the news circulated on social media with some parties calling on members of the public to come and attend and support the state action against the LGBT community. And there was also, you know, all various kinds of posters, which, you know, I had also received from various WhatsApp groups, you know, talking about, you know, let's do this, you know, let's support and witness this punishment that's going to take place today against the LGBT community. You know, it's kind of like an anti-LGBT solidarity. So punishments that are made in the name of Islam, this is what they claim. But ultimately, what we want to say is that it is time for us Muslims in Malaysia to reclaim Islam from being defined by these politicians who are pushing their political agendas. Because we cannot forget the fact that Quranic teachings emphasize repentance, forgiveness, and personal transformation. Because God, you know, is forgiving and merciful. This is what we are taught in the Quran. And the preservation of human dignity is a requirement in Islam, you know. So acts such as whipping, you know, has as its main motivation the humiliation and shaming of the guilty party. So why are these teachings not being used to inform the court's decision in terms of its sentencing and execution? And given that, you know, this was a first-time offense for both victims, and yet the court and the state of Terengganu saw fit to sentence them to the maximum 6 strokes of the cane and conduct it publicly on top of that. So that's our position.
There's also been tremendous public outcry about this, but Terengganu MB Dr. Ahmad Samsuri Mokhtar believes it's just temporary and it will die down. Do you see this being the case?
No, this is a long-standing issue, you know, where we have seen caning women being, you know, like this issue had come about way back in 2010, you know, 8 years ago. There's lots of political statements on these issues that has been done as well. And the point right now is that the political climate is such that, you know, the target is actually towards the marginalized and stigmatized LGBT community. So for as long as people are treated with injustice, this issue and the public outcry and calls for justice associated with it will not die down. I mean, the thing is, we're not used to the fact of, you know, whether it's caning in private or caning in public. I mean, this was abhorrent. Caning in public was abhorrent. And if we were not against this, you know, there wouldn't be a call out for Malaysia to ratify the Convention against Torture, because we do not want corporal punishment to continue in Malaysia, whether it's in the Sharia system, whether it's in the civil criminal system.
So the overall argument from proponents of this punishment appears to be that it's permissible according to Islam, and therefore people who aren't members of that religion should not participate or don't have a stake in this. What would you say to that?
You know, that is always the false argument that's given. You know, this is our issue and not your issue, so, you know, you don't have to bother about this. You know, we need to remind everyone of the fact that we are all citizens of a democratic nation state, and all of us are invested in the fate of our fellow citizens. You know, there are many issues in this country, and there are many issues as well in terms of, you know, this whole entire fiasco that we need to unpack. And chief among them is also the issue of access to justice, which is not a religious issue. It's a national issue. And given that, you know, the two women allegedly pleaded guilty, it is questionable, you know, if the whole thing about legal representation, again, if it was accessible to the women in court and even prior to that. Because if LGBT persons have limited access to justice and redress and legal presentation because of who they are and the preconceived notions of, you know, on the basis of religion, sexuality, and the LGBT persons, then I would say that, you know, we have a huge problem here, and it's upon all of us to actually address it. And for as long as Islam continues to be the source of law and public policy, then everyone in Malaysia has a right to talk about it.
Rosanna, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was Rosanna Issa, Executive Director of Sisters in Islam. After this, we're going to be getting the legal perspective on this issue from lawyer Latifa Koya. So stay tuned for that right here on the Evening Edition. Lynn and Uma with you. It's 6:19 in the evening. On the Evening Edition today, we're having a conversation about the caning of two women in Terengganu yesterday. We'd like to know your thoughts on public caning. Do you think it is an archaic measure that needs to be done away with? Or are you in support of this punishment? You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899, or you can call us to talk back on 77-332-900. On the line now is Latifa Koya from Lawyers for Liberty. Latifa, it's so good to hear from you again. NGOs Justice for Sisters and Sisters in Islam had questioned the caning of the women, had questioned that the caning of the women had violated the law because the two women were not prisoners. Did this action break any laws?
Yeah, of course, if they have violated the law, that means there is the whole point is that they have broken the existing laws. But unfortunately, because we are talking about something slightly complicated where the whole punishment is being done by the Sharia court, and they have basically used or seconded officers or officials from the prison, there is nothing written as to whether the prison officials who came to actually administer the whipping is doing it in the context of as a prison official or they have been seconded under the Sharia department. So it's not very clear in that sense.
Abdul Rahim Sinwan, Deputy President of the Muslim Lawyers Association, argued that Sharia caning is neither painful nor harsh. Does Sharia caning differ from the kind of caning that we would see under civil law?
No, the whole power of caning obviously came from the enactment under the Sharia law, the state enactment. So they do have powers, but whether the very fact that they have a power of caning means that they are breaching the civil law, it all depends on what is their definition of caning. So they would probably say that there is a difference. But we are saying that since there is no explanation as to how a whipping or a caning of a woman, whether it's civil or Sharia, has ever been defined, we're saying that they have breached the civil law. And in other words, they have breached the constitutional right of these two women.
So how do we balance corporal punishment like caning that's allowed by our legal system but prohibited by UN conventions that we've yet to sign? Is there a balance to be achieved in this?
No, there's no need for such caning. And I think we should do away with caning or corporal punishment altogether, whether it's Sharia or civil. Caning is not acceptable at all costs. This is still should be defined under the category of torture. So there is nothing to balance. Basically, corporal punishment, whether it's Sharia or civil, should be done away with. We are, in fact, strongly against the caning that is done for normal prisoners. We have thousands of immigrants who have been accused of flouting immigration laws who are waiting to be whipped, and that is wrong also. In fact, that is also absolutely unconstitutional and inhumane because some of them may have been sentenced for detention for 2-3 months, but they are longer in prison just to wait for whipping, you know. So it's wrong. There's no need for balancing act when it comes to corporal punishment.
Latifa, the de facto law minister, Datuk Liew Vui Keong, said that the federal government cannot intervene in Sharia punishments because it would encroach on state jurisdiction that cover Islamic matters. Is that accurate?
Well, okay. Technically speaking, the federal government definitely cannot encroach upon state jurisdiction. But when it comes to Sharia punishment, if the punishments are above what is allowed under the Sharia law, and it then encroaches upon the rights of the person under the Constitution, then of course the government has to intervene. So it's not an issue about the federal government encroaching upon state government or state jurisdiction. It is an issue of whether when the state administered or meted out those punishments, did they go beyond the powers that was given? Because the Sharia law, the precepts of the law, does the type of punishment for a lesbian couple, for example, is that something which is within the Sharia frame, or have they actually crossed the boundaries? Because at the end of the day, we must know that the so-called Sharia laws or punishments or enactments are stemming from, it's not every single Sharia principle or Sharia laws are allowed. There are limitations because the Sharia laws cannot go beyond the issue of marriage or property and certain moral laws. So for them to go beyond that, it would be encroaching the rights of an individual, and the federal government can come into the picture. So you can't just wash your hands off and say this is a state law, because if tomorrow they say that we're going to cut someone's hands because that is under the Sharia, obviously you cannot do that, right? You can't do that because that falls under the category of civil jurisdiction and the criminal jurisdiction of the civil kind. So you can't say, you cannot say that, oh, it is a Sharia law, stealing, you can cut. You can't do that. That's why we have been having this continuous controversy around the RUU 355, because there are enactments or suggestions or legislations which encroaches upon the power that belongs to the federal government. So you can call it Sharia, but when it breaches or the constitutional rights of a person, then the federal government has to come into the picture and intervene.
All right. So what can be done about such laws then?
So I think in order to change the law, first, I think, for example, caning itself should be banned. That can be done by the federal government, that the concept of caning, corporal punishment, it should be banned. And there should be a moratorium of all forms of caning. That would send a clear message. Because otherwise, they are comparing, we are softer, we are lesser, you know, we're gentler than the punishment that there is. In a way, of course, the corporal punishment, as it is, which when you whip, it breaks the skin, it is painful, it's torturous, it's still there. And so they should do away with it. Then it makes the whole discussion much easier, the debate much easier.
All right, Latifa, thank you so much for joining us this evening. That was Latifa Koya from Lawyers for Liberty. Give us your thoughts on corporal punishment and what happened in Terengganu yesterday. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899. You can also call us on 7733-2900. This is the evening edition.
And we have some messages that have come in from Vincent saying, what crime have these two ladies broken to deserve caning as punishment? It's genetic and it's part of life. And then we have Bong saying, well, no for caning, but without that and death sentences, no deterrent. What will happen to our country? Bong, I would say that there are other countries who have gotten rid of corporal punishment and they haven't gone to the dogs, so we can look to other examples there.
And they've gotten rid of both corporal and capital punishment, actually, because I think it's long been proven that the deterrent factor doesn't really work all that well.
Yeah, I don't think we've really figured out, no country has perfected, right, how to do this really correctly. But I don't think there is a need necessarily to go back to this.
All right, we've got the news coming your way in short order. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.